Tarsila Borges.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. Welcome to this podcast, Educate Me Please. We're going to talk about you, about your background, and you are teaching at BEDA. Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
I work in Beijing University as a Portuguese professor. I've been doing this for 10 years something around that. And I was a language teacher before that, so mm-hmm. it's not that I started doing it when I came to China. I was doing it before. But it was a totally different experience because first I was dealing with Chinese students mm-hmm. while back in Brazil. I used to have Brazilian students, and it's not only about the language, the mother tongue they have, but also the behavior, how they behave as students in class. So I realized I was dealing with something I had never dealt with before.
And what was that? What was that was so different between Brazilian students and Chinese students?
To start, I could say Brazilian students are much more relaxed. They do not feel much pressure, I could say, for two reasons, because there is no much pressure in Brazilian universities, schools, as there is in China. And we could say it's because of the number of people in those countries. So people respond, or people pressure because they get more pressure, or they respond to pressure in different ways because of competition. So this is the first thing. There is also, but I think this is not the number one. The number one is more a cultural thing. Brazilians are more, they take things slowly. And especially when it comes to language, I think we feel more comfortable, or we enjoy more the conversation part, the cultural part. You know, we want to go and, okay, let's do that song. Like, I loved it. Mm-hmm. Or tell me about what are the traditions in this country. It's the way to attract a student, a Brazilian student, into your class, to have all their eyes and ears on you, is to talk about the magic. And the magic comes with the culture. I would say this is one of the things. And to have the attention of your Chinese students, especially at university, that they are so focused on getting like the best marks so they can get a scholarship, so then later they can get a job opportunity somewhere. They are more, their target is the results, is their marks. So they need to know the grammar. They need to know the details. And it's like, no, I don't want to watch this movie. I want to, I need, because the movie is not going to be on my exam, in my final exam. So they are much more serious. It's not about, and I'm not saying Brazilians learn more than Chinese or the other way around. It's both of them. It's not about that. It's just the way they learn. The process is different. Brazilians like to talk. Brazilians like the social thing. Yeah. And Chinese, they learned since they're kids, they study on their own, at home, or with private teachers, private math teacher, private English teacher. So they are usually studying alone, not with a group, right? So the way to learn things, the way they go through the experience they have, is a totally different one.
It's quite the opposite, like the way you describe it.
Yeah, I would say so.
So how did you end up here then? What did you find that was so attractive that you're like, that's it, I'm coming to China?
Yeah, actually, like, I ended up teaching Portuguese in BEDA.
Yeah.
Actually, this happened more like, I didn't see that coming. I was not even looking for that, because I came to China to learn Chinese. I didn't come to China to work. Back in Brazil, I always studied languages. And there was a point in my life, I realized I was working lots of, I was working with English and Spanish back then, and I wanted some bigger challenge, and I decided that challenge was Mandarin. I didn't know what was about to come, but then when I finally got here, I started learning Chinese. It was great. But then I heard from a friend that there was a position in Beijing University to teach Portuguese. And I took the interview. We kind of got along, like the coordinator, and okay, let's do this, because it's even like you are in language, you have the master in the area that we are looking for. And I told them, yeah, but I do not really have the experience of teaching my own language. I used to teach other languages. And they said, yeah, but it's your language, you can try. So for me, at the beginning, I had two different challenges. First, deal with different kind of students. And second, I was teaching my own language. And sometimes, surprisingly, it's the language that I have more knowledge of. But surprisingly, sometimes I have questions that
I don't know
the answer to. It's like, oh my God, never thought of that. You know, like, why do we say that? I have no clue. And so it was a very nice experience at first. And back then, I also didn't speak much Chinese. It was the beginning of my life here in China. So it was fun, like English in between and Portuguese, some Portuguese and some Chinese. So it was great. And of course, after some years, I see that where the place where I am right now, the experience I have right now, if I could go back, I would have changed a lot of my class plans. You know, like I made lots of mistakes, and it's amazing because you learn. And not only the fact that I'm teaching Portuguese, but also my Chinese improved a lot. So I understand a little better, like where the differences between these two languages, where exactly it is. So when the approach while you were teaching has also something to do related to the fact that if I explain it like that, I'm not so sure if they're going to get it because their language does not have that. So how do I introduce this, right? So I would also say that learning Chinese a little bit more also helped me a lot in teaching. Yeah, what was the question?
I was just asking.
Oh, who I am, right?
How
did I get here?
Yeah. So. But then it all went fluent, like fluently, yeah, so it's fine. And so basically after a few years, you get to understand more of the culture, more of China, more of the language. And now you have a super amazing background as a university teacher.
I wouldn't say a super understanding, but a much better one for sure. I am much more prepared to face my students, and I am more confident with my own language as well, because then like I learned how to answer to those to get the answers for those questions. So yes, I feel much better. But there is another thing that those aspects I think I have improved, but there is one aspect that does not depend on me. It depends on the students. And we always have new students coming, right? We have some students coming and students who are leaving. And I think in each culture, students have an idea of what being a teacher means. It's what does a teacher look like? What should a teacher do? And students come to me with that
in mind,
right? What they understand of that profession. It's like what they look like, what they do, how do they behave. And I wouldn't say I became more Chinese kind of teacher. I am still very, my way of teaching is still very Brazilian. I like to have them to practice real conversations and bring lots of culture into the class. And but every time I have new students, I can see they look at me a little bit, oh, is this a professor? It's like, is this the professor we are having the whole year, the whole semester? Because they come to us with this idea of what it should be like.
Or sometimes I'm having more of like a lecture kind of style of classes. Yeah. You know, like sitting in the back, listening, repeating what you have to say. And it's like, it's a way that works, you know.
Yeah.
But it's also, it depends. Your personality is not like that. My personality either. I would not want to have kids sitting like in my class. I try
and being
to avoid
more
this.
Passive, yeah.
Yeah, no. I need them to talk all the time. And if they don't, I'm gonna ask why. Why are you talking?
You can tell. I usually have, for example, I have students in the first year university, and usually they are also my students in the second year, and sometimes even in their third year. And I can tell, like, in the first year, they do not ask me as many questions. They do not, or sometimes when you even do, like, you write something on the board and you miss the spelling or something this, they come to you like super concerned, like, I'm not so sure, maybe I'm wrong. They're super afraid of offending because you are the person who has the knowledge, right? And like, you are supposed to be the person correcting them, not the other way. So in their first year, it's amazing how they do not contradict you in any aspect. They never go against you. And I can tell you, I have this group in the second year. They are in their second year right now. And actually on Friday, I had this amazing class. We were supposed to have a debate on something that's going on in Brazil right now, which is they just suspended one law that used to protect some areas of the Amazon and some tribes from the plantations of sugarcane. So we had this, right? We had a law that protect that piece of land, and now it's gone. So we were talking like, is this correct? Is it good? Is it not good? And we were really digging into details, like why.
Wow.
First, it's not only about the land or about the environment. We also have native people, Indians, living there. And this piece of land used to belong to them, protected by law. And third, if we plant sugarcane in here, the European Union is not going to import our product because there is another agreement between these two groups, Mercosur and Europe. They are not importing anything that attacks or destroys, deteriorate the Amazon or protected land. So we were doing, like, covering all aspects of it. And I have this one student, and she totally agrees with the decision of the president, and she was fighting me on the argument.
Oh,
and I was like, oh, I think you guys got too comfortable. You know, like, last year you were not saying anything against my arguments or my decisions. And now look at you guys. Like, you're saying, why not? They can do this because they create jobs and this and that. And I was like, okay, good. That's what
you want.
You know, it's not about, like, there is no right, wrong decision about this, what's going on in Brazil. And we are not going to call the president and say, hey, man, we decided here that you were right. We are supporting you, or you were wrong. It's not about that.
Yeah.
It's about, let's think about it and talk to me. Let's see if you can argue with me in a language that's not yours.
Exactly. And I think if you can do that, it means that you succeed with, like, your students too, because they can actually really, like, go abroad and learn how to speak, you know. Because when I learned English, I remember, like, I was not equipped to like speak, you know. But then I got into that while I was traveling in Italy. And I, of course, this is what you do when you're in Italy, you know, you do backpacking and you do have to speak English. But these are, like, moments where you really, like, you're glad that you have, like, teachers like you, you know, that will make you speak, that will help you to just, like, go out of the comfort zone. Because if you don't break it before, like, it gets really difficult for students.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And of course, in class, it's just like, we are just practicing. It's a regular practice. But at the same time, if the student, like, I had the students in that group that were really, Like, they came up with arguments, and it's hard to argue with someone. I am the one who speaks the language.
Yeah.
Of course, it's easier for me to, you know, like, to move around and come up with a different idea to argue about anything.
Mm.
But the fact that they felt empowered to fight me back and, no, we do not agree. We think, you know, it was amazing.
Yeah, great job, teacher.
Yeah, it was great. I was super happy.
Yeah.
Not about being questioned, but...
You're like, no. Next time, listen to me.
It's like, oh, I think I prefer the way you behaved
last
year. Listen to the teacher.
Because it's more demanding for teachers when you're challenged all the time, right? If you're not challenged, no worries, you know? You can do, like, anything. But when you're challenged, you always have to be ready to be on your feet, you know? Be ready to be able to answer the question. Be ready to.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think when teachers, when, I don't know exactly when, if it was in the 60s or 70s, because my education came later than that, but I don't know exactly when we started changing our teaching systems. Of course, each country has a different one, and I don't know exactly when it happened in Brazil, but I went to school. I had a period of, like, when I had a moment. I remember in school, it was very traditional. But then when I went to university, it was already something else. You know, like, it was, classes were much more open. And I think the transition, it's easier to be a teacher that follows the very traditional system of teaching, because the teachers are there to talk about the language, the grammar, the structure. There was a moment we didn't include much of cultural aspects in our classes or facts going on in the country at the moment. Let's talk about news. Mm. Let's talk about personalities in this country, things that are happening in this country right now. And this is a little bit of a challenge for a teacher, because it's not comfort. It's not, the teacher has to leave the comfort zone of, my knowledge is about the language and I have to make it much wider to teach this kind of class, because then I have to know about, and it's scary for a teacher to... what if I am questioned about this, you know? I was not prepared for this. Mm-hmm. I was taught something else. I was prepared to teach the language in my case, right? So I think lots of teachers feel very uncomfortable about having to face this kind of challenge, you know, because it's not the comfort area they are used to.
And also, it takes so much time planning for these kind of, like, lesson plans, you know? I like to go with, like, improvisation. Sometimes I'm like, I'm gonna try something new, and then I realize, oh, trying something new, just as you say, like, all of this knowledge that you have to add to your own lesson plan, to your own differentiation in your class, to your own,
of course,
to your own, like, assessment, to your own, like, it's just, it gets, like, super difficult on the, so the first year of teaching, like, probably, like, I remember my first year teaching it here, I would not be able to do all of that. But the second year, you add more and more and more. So I bet now you're kind of, like, relaxed, because you have, like, I'm sure you have your set, you know, of, like, more opened project discussions and stuff. But you're still using the news. So it's still a lot of work, like.
Yeah, because it's, and of course, in terms of amount of work you have, I've been doing this for 10 years in China. I have materials since year one.
Yeah.
Right? But I want classes to be updated. So I'm always making new material.
Me too.
You know, and that's tiring. That takes time, you know?
Yeah.
But of course, it's much more fun. Like, why we're going to talk about, okay, sometimes you, even to explain what's going on right now, you can use something that you prepared, like, 5 years ago, because it's the result of something that that happened previously. But I really enjoy the reaction I have from the students, because it's just more real.
Ah,
you know, it's like, why are we talking about this thing that happened, like, I don't know,
10 years ago?
Yeah, 10 years ago. And of course, you can do that if your purpose, because every time you prepare a class, what's your goal? What do you want from this?
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, okay, what's the content? What's your objective? Where do you want to, where is this going?
Yeah.
And how you're going to do it, right? Like, if you do not have these basic three steps, it's like,
you're out.
You are, I don't know exactly what you were doing, but you're not teaching.
I agreed with that. Yeah. A lot of people here, especially they who don't have necessarily experience teaching abroad or teaching in general, will just like be like, oh yeah, I can teach. It's easy. Like so many people were hired here, not being a teacher. They were like, and it's okay to, you know, it's a place where they need so many teachers. But whenever like you start doing this, you know, people are just like, students are like, whoa, you know, like, wow, that's great.
Yeah.
You really have objectives, you know. I feel we're going to accomplish something.
Yeah, we have, the teacher has to have that very clear in mind before he steps into the classroom, because otherwise you are just making noise.
Yeah.
You know, in a different language.
So for you, who was your favorite teacher and why?
Oh, my favorite teacher was my English teacher at university.
And why?
Because she was a huge challenge. She would always come to me with, well, she was my teacher. She was my tutor on my final, I don't know how
thesis?
To say that. Yeah, on my final thesis at university.
Yeah.
And she was, she would always come to me, like I would write some paper, some essay, and I would come to her and she would go like, it's amazing, but and then I would see like the paper was covered in red and I was like, how come this is amazing, like what are you talking about? And it was very nice because I thought I knew how to write. And then she was always trying to show me that I didn't, but in the nicest way. Mm. Or how to, because when you are writing about something, especially giving your opinion about it, you have to have lots of knowledge about that. So that involves research. And she had a very nice way. Even though I hated her back then, now I love her. And it was a very nice way of showing me how to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. Never aggressive and always pointing out like, look what you did here. This is amazing.
Yeah.
And, but why don't we do the same thing here? Because this one is not as good as the other one. So it was a very nice way of showing how to make your text better and better. So it was very nice. She was my favorite teacher at university. And I also have the opposite example.
Oh, the
I
worst
have
teacher, yes.
The worst teacher.
Tell me.
Of course, I also think it's also related to the way you deal with the subject, because it was math and I was never really into math.
Yeah.
I was always great at language, Portuguese language, literature, history, but no numbers. Don't come to me with numbers, and I'm not good with them too nowadays. But I remember this math teacher. First, she wouldn't speak. She would yell at class. Like, she always spoke super, super loud, and she was not nice to the students. Mm. When we didn't understand the way was, I felt almost like, oh my God, I have to give her my palm because she was going to punish me.
No. Okay.
I felt like that.
Yeah, it was almost like, kind of like aggressivity and violence.
Yeah, so I was always scared at class, you know?
Oh, how old were you?
I was maybe 10, 12. You know, 10, 11. Yeah, it was little. And I was always scared, you know, the teacher, oh my God, if she asks me a question and I don't know the answer, she's going to say something and humiliate me.
Yeah.
You know, it was really bad. And then later on, I had the opposite experience with this nice professor who would, in a very sweet way, tell me, that my text was not good, you know? And
I think it's interesting because you focus a lot on like the relationship that you have with the teachers to say who is the best teacher. And it's very interesting that you focus on that. And I think we all have different ways to appreciate teachers. And I like that it's actually, there's a research that said what makes a great teacher. And in that research, they do say that a connection is important with your students, like to show you care. And it's something that like, unfortunately, you cannot teach someone to care. Like it's not kind of difficult. Yeah, please care about like my dog. Like I don't want a dog. I don't know your dog, right?
I'm sorry, I'm trying, but I can't. Something like that.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
I don't know. Now that you mentioned that, I realized, in both experiences, they are more related to the feeling of it's a personal feeling you have, a very personal experience you have with the teachers. In none of them I was talking about their method, how they teach, right? It's not, because I think when you are a child, we are not even aware of that, maybe, I don't know. But
I think there's a big part of you that is not aware of that. Like your subconscious might get it, but not your
consciousness. But we have that, for example, now that I teach, I know that every class that I prepare, I have some basic steps that I need to, right? I need to have some information very clear, what I want from this, what is my target, right? I know that, but when we are kids, we are not like, oh, she's not following the steps.
Yeah.
You cannot, you like, I can tell this teacher is not following the basic steps of preparing a class. Yeah. We do not know that. But we do know that sometimes we are in class and we don't understand a thing.
Yeah.
We feel totally lost. Like, Jesus, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
Sometimes so unconsciously we know. Right. Sometimes I felt, oh my God, I remember having that feeling like, oh my God, where are we going? Right. We all have been there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you know when like there's a question and then the question and then everyone raises their hands and then you want to answer too. So you raise your hand and you forget what was the question and then... And then you want to answer, but you don't know what to say. It happened to me all the time.
Oh, I forgot. Oh, like just saying, it's not normal. I think.
But you know, the other day, I remember that because it happened with one of my class. I had like a student doing that and I was like, oh, I'm with you. It happened to me in the past too.
I remember once I had this at school. It was a celebration. I don't remember exactly a holiday, or we were celebrating a Brazilian writer or something. And they invited some students to recite a poem or something, or a piece from of that writer. And I was supposed to recite this poem. And so I went back home, I memorized it, I practiced like, oh, yeah, I'm good to go. Next day I go to school and it was supposed to be at the beginning before we go to class, to the classroom. So we were all there and the students reunited, like probably, I don't know, like 800 students. And then they call my name, like, Cam Tarsila Borges from class, whatever class, come. And she's reciting a poem. And they gave me a microphone, which was already, oh, I didn't know there was a microphone involved. And so I got the mic on my hands and I was so scared looking at all those students together in one same spot. And I was like, I'm sorry, I forgot.
No.
I said that on the mic, like, I'm so sorry, I forgot all of it. And then I gave the microphone and left. But I was so scared and I was very, very little. So, I thought that after that experience, I would never go on a stage again. But it didn't happen.
You're a teacher.
Yeah,
so
I'm a teacher and I'm always on the stage. You know, I like showing off. I like when people look at me like, yeah. So, I didn't get traumatized by that.
No, that's good. I'm glad to know that. But you know, you had the strength to just say, I'm sorry, I forgot. Like, you didn't just like freeze and left.
Yeah.
Stop moving. I've seen students doing that, just like freezing. And you're like, I'm going to pull you out of the stage right now.
Because it's getting, the silence is embarrassing. I said, I remember very clearly. I'm sorry, I forgot it all. I don't remember. It was okay. I survived.
I'm sure you did. Yeah. So how did you think that your experience living abroad helped you become a better teacher? Or did it help you to become a better teacher?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, because experience, how do we get experience being teachers? It's teaching. It's not reading from books.
No.
You know, it's teaching. And we never know what surprises we are going to have when each day when we go to class. Mm. And the first time, the first surprises or first, oh, that was not in the manual.
Yes.
What am I supposed to do? These things, they only happen in class. And of course, when you are abroad, these surprises, they come in a bigger number. They happen more often because sometimes they are not even a surprise for the students, but it's a surprise for you because you are the foreigner, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it happens. And being abroad, you have this more regularly. I would even say, for example, right now I teach only Chinese students, but I suppose someone teaching a language, a foreign language, to a group, a mixed group, for foreigners in general. So you have a German, an Italian, a Russian, a Korean. Can you imagine like the how difficult that is?
Always.
You see, so in this kind, in this kind of experience, you only get because you were there, because you accept the challenge and okay, give it to me. What's the challenge? Because that student, the Korean student, will look at you in a way. The Russian will look at you in a different way. And you are going to look at them totally at loss. Like, whoa. And the challenge will come every time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So being abroad or with a culture that is not the one you are familiar with at first, is a big challenge. So I think I learned a lot working in China.
So would you consider yourself more patient because of that?
Oh yeah.
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 More patient, right?
More patient. Super.
Yeah, me too. Like I'm always like, I think I'm like 20. I'm like 20 hours of patience that I like stuck.
Yeah.
You know that I can.
Yeah. We learn to give them their time and all right, process what I said and.
Mm.
And not only in class, I think just living abroad, you can be abroad doing something else. You not necessarily you have to be teaching.
Yeah.
You learn to be more patient because you go get bread and it's not the bread you were expecting.
Yeah.
Or you go to the bank to solve a problem and it's not the way we solve problems here. So you have to be very open, otherwise you feel miserable all the time.
Exactly. And it's not a good feeling, right?
Yeah, it's not a good feeling, you know. Like
no, you gotta get used to
it. Yeah, you need to be patient and then that's it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's good. It's a good thing. Yeah. And we learn to be more tolerant
with the
differences. You know? And it's not only this is not only a professional thing you learn in the professional environment. It's just by living somewhere else, you learn to look at the differences and not feel uncomfortable about them, right?
Yeah, not just.
And sometimes even enjoy them. Like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's like when I see people walking in PJs in the hutongs, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, what a day. You know, it's like
I
super
laugh.
Cold. Yeah. And then before you'll be like, oh, this is weird. But now it's like, have a good day today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice. Sometimes I see those things and I remember. It's a kind of a reminder because I've been here for so many years.
Yeah.
And sometimes you forget that at first you were shocked by some things, right? As for some specific behaviors. And then now sometimes you don't even notice them because they just became very familiar to your daily life. But sometimes you look at, oh, like summer. In the summer, when they have, like, they get their shirt.
Yeah, the Beijing Valley.
Yeah, the Beijing Valley. It's like, when I see those, I love summer just because of that. It's like, and it's not like a nice thing to look at. But it makes me smile, you know, like, oh, that's so cool about Beijing.
Yeah. You go back to Brazil, you're like, where are the Beijing bellies?
Yeah,
you
there's know? No people don't do that.
It's like... They're just in bathing suit all the time. No, I don't know. I've never been to Brazil.
Yeah, but it's, having an experience abroad is about accepting. Yeah.
It's about, I like that.
Yeah, it's about accepting the differences and not being bothered by them, right? I think there is a lot about that.
Do you think it's one of the reasons why you also stayed for like 10 years here? Do you think it was getting the transition? Do you think?
Yeah, it could be. But to be honest, of course, I had moments that I wanted to leave the country. Like, oh, everything I tried to do does not work. I go to the bank, I couldn't solve my problem. Oh, my visa, they need another document now. And sometimes it's so irritating.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think when I first got here, I was more excited than irritated most of the time. I was just like, what is that? What food is that? Why do you eat this like that? Why do you put, you know, like I was like a kid, a 7-year-old kid. Why? And I felt amazing. So actually, it was not that hard for me to adjust, you know, and so yeah, it was not really like I didn't stay that long because I was still trying to
fit, because you were already fitting in the culture. Okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh my god, this is so different and amazing at the same time.
Yeah,
it's like it was not hard for me.
That's awesome. So you're like, you were already open-minded.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the word.
Not yet.
Because I can be very narrow-minded to other places, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know, I have been to other places, but I haven't tried to leave, actually stay in a place for longer, right? To have an experience, get a job, and let's make life here, happen here. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't try that, but it could happen. For example, I tried to go back to Brazil, and it didn't work.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. So you tried it, and it didn't work because?
For many reasons. First, I think the biggest of the reasons, I could say, when I decided to go back, Brazil was not in a very good economical moment.
Okay.
So it was very hard to get jobs. Like, they would be, like, not very nice jobs, very low paid wages, and so it was hard. Then second, I just didn't enjoy being there. I would listen to people in the subway and I would think, oh, Brazilians are boring, and oh, this is so not interesting, it was weird because everything there was very familiar to me, but somehow I didn't like it. You know, I was not fitting in my own origins somehow.
It's like a reverse culture shock.
Yeah, I had a reverse. And when it comes to teaching, I saw myself back in class with Brazilian students, and I didn't like them because simply they lack in every aspect of discipline and responsibility comparing to a Chinese student. So it doesn't matter how many times you ask them to do something, they never do it. Or if they do it, you realize they copy it from someone else. And it's like, and this is, so when I first came to China, I was a little bit shocked that the Chinese wouldn't talk much. They were not much into conversation or learning about other stuff. But then, and I was so surprised about their discipline on doing everything I asked, or even more. Sometimes I wouldn't ask and they would do anyway.
This is great.
And then I went back to Brazil and I got shocked about people. How come you can do this with your lives? You are here to learn. Why don't you try? Make an effort.
Yeah.
You know, so the Brazilian way is also very... Then I understood it's like... Actually, both cultures, Brazilians and Chinese, they exaggerate way too much on different things. Brazilians are too, let's date tomorrow, next week. No, we have time. And then when you realize it's deadline and you haven't done anything, right? And the Chinese, they do it much earlier. It's like, I can give you a simple example, like, okay, party, we have a party today. 8 p.m. The Chinese will be there at 20 to 8. And the Brazilians will arrive at 10. It's the same thing, the same way they deal with their homework, with their, you know, their thing, you know.
Yeah.
So the Chinese will give you things, they will finish things before the deadline.
Mm.
And they will drive you crazy with questions about, this is correct, is this correct? Because I don't want to give it to you with mistakes.
Yeah.
Because then I cannot accept having a lower... after you mark it, you realize there is a mistake. So they make sure it's almost perfect. And the Brazilians, they would just like give you after the deadline and say, oh, no, come on, I had so many problems, and come up with...
Oh, the excuse,
all
right?
The excuses. And so it's... And so it's not... none of them are great.
Yeah, you know? It's two different ways.
We could have a balance in between.
Yeah, well, you are the balance.
Oh, maybe.
Because you've learned from like Brazil and being here, like perhaps you have this idea more of balance, you know, in your teaching. I've heard a lot of teachers saying here that they love Chinese students. They're just like, I just give them homework, they do it. Wow,
yeah,
you know?
They do it.
And I'm like, yeah, that's true, you know. In like in Canada, you give a homework that half of the class doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Some of the classes, they just don't give a homework anymore because they're like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
But on the other hand, for example, something that happened not long ago. Oh, actually, we were there to the opening of the Brazilian Film Festival.
Yes.
Right? So we got, well, the event, the film festival, happens every year. And we usually have very nice movies, and they bring actors, movie directors. They always bring someone related to the movies that are going to be on. And I got tickets. I got free tickets. 15 tickets. And at first...
15?
Yes, I got 15 tickets that I could distribute among my students. And then I thought, oh my God, I have more than that. So probably I'll have to, I don't know, think of a way of deciding who is getting a free ticket or not. At first I was worried about that, you know, because sometimes I think, okay, my classes are being effective. They're getting a result. I'm getting somewhere with that. They are learning how important it is.
Yes.
In the end, I had 5 students who wanted to go. And I gave a ticket to you. I gave a ticket to other friends.
Thank you. It was a great movie.
So it's just, you see how disappointed you get? It's like someone dedicates time and money to organize the event. Like, how often can we go to the movies here in China and watch a Brazilian movie and later talk to the actors? You know,
it doesn't
happen. And my students were like, oh, no, but I have class at 7. Yeah, but you see that professor of yours every Friday at 7 p.m. Can't you just... So, you know, the way the priorities are a little bit off.
You're like, I disagree with that point.
You can. I understand your class is very important, but this is also a very nice opportunity, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes I think, well, still not there. I still have to work hard.
Yeah.
You know? But anyways, it was great. The students who went loved it.
Yeah.
So
good, 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 good. Yeah, and that will probably help them understand more the culture and just get used to, being exposed to the culture and the language, of course. I was going to say English, the language. Okay, I have another question about what makes a great teacher. Mm. We already talked about it a little bit, but I want to have a bit more details about that. Mm.
I think the most important thing is usually teachers, especially if they do not have much experience, to feel comfortable, they want to show their knowledge. So we go into class and we want to show that we know things.
Yeah.
And that's a huge mistake. I think it's big time is the opposite. We learn we learn from them.
Yes.
We learn from them. So I think it's a big mistake when teachers go into their classroom and they want to dump their knowledge into the students. It's not like that. The class is not for you to show your knowledge. The class is for them to learn. So the purpose is, that's why I think we always have to have steps when preparing something. We always have to have very clear targets in every step of every activity you are doing in class. Otherwise, you are going to be there just dumping knowledge into them. So we have to keep in mind that the student is important, not you. Not you showing that you know, right? I think this is a very important thing. And I think sometimes I think it's easier to see teachers without any experience doing that because they feel very insecure.
So
they are scared, and it's normal. I think I probably did that when I started teaching. But with the time, you realize you are not the main character in the class, right?
They are.
So we have to focus on them. And then we also have, like, in a group of students, you are going to have different students. Students who respond in different ways to each activity. So that's why we have to pay attention to them, because you're going to realize, okay, if I do this kind of activity, these four students, they respond to it very well, but the other ones, they don't. So I have to take turns into my activities. Mm-hmm. I have to do the ones that these group will respond in a very nice way. And I also have to take turns and do something else for those others to respond in a very nice way. But if you are there just focusing on yourself, you are not observing them. You are not seeing how they respond to anything, right?
So,
I think the most important thing is to keep that in mind. And it's not like I'm saying this here now, but one day I'm going to be tired and I'm going to forget it.
Yeah.
You know, and we do this. It doesn't matter if you have that knowledge, if you have that understanding, and sometimes we do it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, we're humans, right?
Yeah. Sometimes we do it. It's like, oh, I'm tired. Like, okay, I just want to, you know, it happens.
It's all about the ego, like
leave your ego
on the side.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to show off. You don't need to.
And I don't know. I've been working at universities for more than 10 years now. And I think I see a little bit difference depending, because if you are in school or if you are when you are teaching university students, it means your colleagues, your co-workers, they are also there. And there is an environment. Universities want you to publish articles, to write essays, to be in seminars, to be active intellectually. Yeah. Like you have to be active, proactive in that aspect. And sometimes there is a competition, like who wrote more articles this semester?
Really?
Who did that? Who got another title? So, and professors at universities, they tend to forget that a lot. So they go into the classroom because at the same, it's, I wouldn't say it's only their fault. It's also the way the system works, because the universities want,
exactly.
Which there is a competition among the universities. Okay, which university is doing the most important research in this area? So they put pressure on professors. So the professors are doing that. And then when they realize they're just, they don't know where they're going to with their classes, because they're so focused on their articles and stuff. There is this
That's so interesting, because I've never thought of that, but it makes so much sense.
It is.
Yeah, the more time you spend in the classroom, like for planning your class, the less you have to create articles.
Yeah, to read and to reply to an article saying, I do not agree because of this and that. And the universities, they demand from you that you are active in that aspect. And somehow... it's interesting because it's so non-productive.
Yeah, it's right? I get that. The idea that you want to help your students, but at the end you are not
really helping, and everyone is so busy writing their own articles that, okay, I write my articles, but I have no time to read my friend's article, the coworker, because I have to write another. Another. It's like, okay, why are we doing this again?
And then you're all talking about the same thing, but you don't know in different words. Yeah. You know, sometimes like this happens too. So, okay, complete this sentence. Let's play this game. Complete this sentence. So, if I were not to teach, I would...
teach. I don't know. All right. No, if I were not to teach, I would sing.
Oh, yeah. Have a great voice, too.
I would sing, I think. Yeah. Something related to performance and stage and something like that.
I can see. Yeah, the young girls who forgot, when you forgot your lyrics. It's long gone.
Long gone, yeah. You got true.
Okay. My favorite topic at school was because?
History.
Or subject, yeah.
My favorite subject was history. I used to imagine things. I would read from books, and I would imagine, like, the war, the discovery of a land, and I would fantasize, you know? And, I used to love that.
Living abroad is like?
Is the life that I want to have forever, because I like being a foreigner. Living abroad is like constantly being learning something.
Tomorrow I will.
Tomorrow I will learn again from my students. Now tomorrow, I don't know. You mean tomorrow, like every tomorrow? Tomorrow, like future, or
however
tomorrow?
You want to address it is okay. There is no wrong in this.
Okay, so I'm going to stick to the tomorrow, like the real tomorrow, Monday. Tomorrow, I'm attending this seminar again, which is it has been amazing. Because we have people it's a meeting among Portuguese professors, and we are exchanging so much knowledge. And it's a very nice thing to do. Sometimes, like I said, sometimes you forget.
Yeah.
You know things, you learned them before, but it's been a while I don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's nice. You're there talking to someone who does exactly the same thing, and you exchange knowledge. And so tomorrow I'm going to be doing this. Yeah. And this could be, it's going to be my tomorrow, but it could be also other tomorrows, because it's a very nice thing to do. To be more of a listener than a speaker sometimes. Yeah.
My favorite Chinese food is?
Anything with eggplant. I love the eggplant. And I have no idea how come, like, every country has eggplants. Why only the Chinese had the idea of doing it like that, right? They're so smart. Yeah, I love the Chinese eggplant. But if I have to specify, like, a region, in China, I would say Yunnan. Yunnan food is my favorite.
Is there anything else you want to share about your experience living abroad or teaching? Because that's your anything you want to say?
I think the experience of, let's say it, of my experience of living abroad as a general thing, because the teaching will come
naturally.
But I think nowadays we live in a world that's getting weird in terms of tolerance to different people, right? And it's not about one country. It's about many countries in the world. We have so many problems with accepting other people, people from different skin color, people from the south, from the north, people from who speak different language, people from poor countries, and it's just ugly, you know. It's just it shows how human beings haven't learned anything. It's somehow very disappointing to see that we've been on Earth for so long and we haven't achieved acceptance of others. Yeah. And I think living abroad is a very good way of practicing this, you know, of looking at people and having them in your life and learning from them and understanding that there is no right or wrong. And so I think this is the richest experience, the best thing I learned from being abroad. Yeah,
that's like an amazing one.
Yeah, it's nice, I think.
And I think just like you were saying about like ego, you know, and how you have to be in the class and listening, acceptance is not something that you're getting in like, oh, one day you're like, that's it, I got it, checklist, you know?
Yeah, I got them to accept me. Done.
I'm okay.
Yeah. But... yeah. And it's not only like being abroad, it's not only about myself as a foreigner in this country accepting Chinese people or Chinese ways of doing things or Chinese language or Chinese food. It's also about the Chinese looking at me and also accepting me.
Yeah.
You know, it goes
sideways,
you know. Yeah.
One of my American friend was telling me, he was like, I have the responsibility. I'm representing my country when I'm abroad. So he was like, if I'm being like...
oh, I don't want that responsibility.
Person,
it's
yeah.
a little... burden.
I know, but yeah, I think, but and in some ways, because that's true, people like, if you're like, oh, I met a Chinese person and he's been doing this, and then like, you're going to associate this, like your subconscious to that. So whenever you meet people and you say like, oh, I'm Canadian, people associate all my behaviors to Canadians, even if it's not Canadian, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah. So since then, I've been way more careful.
Because now you are representing the country.
I'm proud of that.
Yeah, but it's true. Somehow they learn things from they can confirm or not the stereotypes they have of people from this place or that place.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Good time.
It was very nice.
It was really, really nice. Thank you. I really like your input, your perspective, and especially because you've lived abroad in China for so long.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Yay. Thank you.